You remember God created Adam from the dust of the earth, and then he breathed into his body the breath of life. It was a holy kiss. The Lord reached down, he breathed into his life. It was like someone who is not alive and someone breathes into their lungs. It's a holy kiss. And did you know that when you were born, God gave you a holy kiss? The only way that you are alive today is because God breathed into your lungs and gave you life. That's the only reason. It's an amazing God that we serve. Tremendously amazing. We are looking at Jesus because we want to get to know him better. The more we know him, the more we love him. The more we love him, the more we obey him. The more we serve him, the more we bless him. And as we do that, then we get to know him more. And it's just kind of like this cycle that goes on and on. We've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes. And I thought I was ready to leave that. But there's something we need to talk about today. In regards to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 12, we began this last week, this passage of Scripture that says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." As we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, I've been considering this past week, particularly this passage of Scripture, and how Jesus told his followers that when you go through the most difficult times, you need to rejoice. When you go through the most difficult times, you need rejoice. That just seemed wrong, doesn't it? That just seems unnatural. That's not the way we're built. The way we're built is when we go through good times, we rejoice. And when we go through horrible times, we complain. Okay? That's the way we're built. But Jesus is suggesting to us that when we go through difficult times, we need to rejoice during those times as well. So this past week I did a word study on rejoice. This passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 5 says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad." So that word rejoice means rejoice and be glad. But it says be exceeding glad means to jump for joy. When you're being persecuted, when things go wrong, when things are going just awful, rejoice and jump for joy. Woohoo! God. I mean, that just seems weird. Paul said it this way. Now, you remember in Philippians chapter 4, Paul said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice." He didn't say rejoice in the Lord when you're feeling good. Rejoice in the Lord when you win the lottery. Okay. He said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice." He said, "I'm going to say it again. Rejoice. I'm going to say it again. Rejoice. In case you didn't get it the first time, I'm going to say it again. Rejoice in the Lord always." See, our habit is, well, I can't speak for you. My habit is, rejoice in the Lord when things are going good. Okay? But as I'm looking at this passage of Scripture and other Scriptures, I'm doing this word study in Deuteronomy. So in Deuteronomy, the word rejoice is used 10 times. Okay? And I just went through the Bible and looked up every time it said rejoice. And this struck me. In the book of Deuteronomy, it tells us to rejoice. 10 times it mentions the word rejoice. 9 of those times, God had called the children of Israel together for feasts and festivities, festivals, and brought them together. He said, when you gather together, rejoice. Well, what if I don't feel like it? He didn't ask them whether they felt like it or not. Okay? But it was a demand, or maybe a command. It was better, more than a suggestion. He didn't say, when you gather together, I want you to complain to one another and share each other, you know, with each other how bad life is. Okay? That's not what he said. He said, when you gather together, I want you to rejoice, 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 rejoice. 9 times. The 10th time, he told the children of Israel, I'm going to rejoice over you. Isn't that interesting? So God is rejoicing over His children. This is a remarkable thing, an insight for me. I know I've got to change my attitude about some things. I've got to change my behavior about some things because the Lord is worthy to be praised regardless of what's taking place in my life. He is worthy to be praised. King David, he didn't always have it easy. But this is what he said. I will rejoice. This is a day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. It was almost like every day he said, you know what? This is a horrible, I started to say sucky day, but that's probably not the best. This is a horrible day. And I'm going to rejoice in the Lord anyway. I will rejoice in the Lord. This is a day He's made, so I'm going to rejoice in Him. He didn't always have it the greatest. I don't know if you remember John Began or not. He came to know Christ when he came to this church. All right, he told me I was like a bad tooth. I keep coming around. And finally he prayed, received Christ. And he started the celebration recovery over at the Nazarene Church. And God's still using that. John Began is dead now. But I would tell John Began, I said, John, have a good day. And he'd say, I'm going to make it a good day. Every time, I'm going to make it a good day. You know what? We make things happen by our attitude oftentimes. So Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Now, do you know where Paul was when he said that? He was in prison. He was in prison. And that's probably not the greatest place to be. To rejoice. But he was in prison for preaching the gospel of Christ. Acts chapter 16, there's a record of Paul and Silas. They're preaching the word of God, and people didn't like it. And so they brought him in before the magistrates, and so the people started clamoring at them. The magistrates stripped their clothes off of them. The people, it was a little confusing. I don't know if it's the magistrates or the people started beating them and just beating them and beating them. And finally, they threw him in prison, Paul and Silas, and then they put their feet in stocks. They couldn't go anywhere. And in verse 25, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. If you had been going through that, what do you think you'd have been doing? whining. Yeah. But Scripture said Paul and Silas began singing praises to the Lord. Is that crazy or what? It says suddenly, the next verse, suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Here's what I think. I believe that when we begin to learn to rejoice, even difficult times, that things are going to break off us. If you get in a situation where there's fear and turmoil and you begin praising the Lord, I think the fear is just going to go, just kind of go away. Now, I'm not suggesting, you remember in the God zone, I'm teaching you to vent to God. You're telling Him what's going on in your heart. I'm not suggesting that you bypass that. Okay? As a matter of fact, we need to tell God what's going on in our lives. In Psalm 42, verses 5 through 11, Scripture says, "And why are you cast down?" And so David is talking to himself. He says, "David, why are you depressed? David, why are you in despair? Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Soul, hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, for help comes from Him." Okay? So, soul, have you ever talked to yourself? That's what David was doing. He's saying, you know, my soul is in despair. Stop it. He's telling himself, stop it. Don't go there. Start praising the Lord. Put your hope in the Lord. And he goes on, and I'm going to start with verse 6. He says, "Oh my God." Then he starts talking to God. He starts venting. Okay? "Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill of Mizar. Wherever I go, I'm going to remember you. Deep calls into deep and the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to the God, my rock, why have you forgotten me?" Have you ever felt like that? God, where are you? Where are you? "I will say to the God, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God?" And David's saying, "I don't know." But he's going to show up. He's going to show up. And then verse 11, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God." David didn't feel like rejoicing, did he? The world was coming at him from all sides, and he was crying out to God and saying, "God, where are you? Where are you?" But this he knew, that there's hope in God. And so he said to his soul, "I'm going to quit whining and complaining, and I'm going to start rejoicing in the Lord. I'm going to put my hope in Him." David didn't feel like rejoicing, but he rejoiced anyway. And I think the Lord would telling us today, even if when you don't feel like rejoicing, do it anyway. Do it anyway. So, why should you rejoice when bad things happen? Okay? That's a pretty good question, huh? Why should you rejoice when bad things happen? The first reason is God knows what you're going through in life and He cares. So how many of you are going through a very difficult situation right now? Okay, many of you are going through some difficult situations. Did you know God cares? Did you know that He loves you? Scripture says in Matthew 6, 25 and 26, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap. They don't gather things into barns. And yet, the Father watches every one of them and He provides every one of them. Have you noticed the birds, like in the mornings and things, they're going out and they're finding their worms and they're finding their seed and they're finding the things they need to eat and they find it and then fly away and next morning they're back. Who provides for them? The Lord does. And He's saying, if I can provide for them, don't you know that you're of more value than the birds? You have more value than all the other created beings, and you are valuable to the Father. Psalm 139 says, O Lord, You have examined my heart. You know everything about me. You know when I sit down. You know when I rise up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place Your hand of blessing on my head. Did you know that God knows you're here this morning? Did you know that God watched you as you got out of bed this morning? And when you went to bed last night? Did you know that? Why did He, you know, when our grandchildren are over, we put them in bed, we tuck them in bed, pray with them, have a Bible story with them, and kiss them, and cut them. You know, that's kind of like God. He's like, He's all about you. And then get up in the morning, and my wife makes them a wonderful breakfast. And I get to partake of that. God's all about you. God cares for you, and He cares about what you're going through. So we need to rejoice because God cares. A second reason we need to rejoice is that God is on the throne. Whatever you're going through, God says, I've got it. I've got it. Somebody was sharing with me yesterday an issue going on in their life. And it's a very difficult issue. Horrible issue. And I said, well, what does God, when you pray, what does God say? And she said, He says, I've got it. I've got it. I've got it taken care of. You don't have to worry about it. You can if you want to. Okay? You can if you want to. You can stress, you can fear, you can fret. But I've got it. So you're either going to trust your feelings or you're going to trust God. Okay? So, I want to ask you a question. Whatever you're going through, some of you raised... I want to ask you a question. Does God... Is God still on the throne? He's still on the throne. Let me ask another one. Does God make mistakes? Is God big enough to keep you from experiencing pain, from experiencing loss, from experiencing discomfort? Is He big enough to keep you from experiencing that? So if He chooses not to do that, do you think He might have something going on under the surface that you're not aware of? So, if God is on the throne and He's big enough, then perhaps we need to praise Him because He's doing something in us or maybe the people around us that only this will cause or create in their lives and not our lives. I don't like it that my wife is not 100% healthy. But I probably would not have known the patience that I know now, or maybe the love that I know now, or other godly attributes that I know now, if my wife hadn't gone into those, the health problems that she's facing. God is doing some things, and as you know, as much as I want her to be healed, God is still doing something. And so, God is not watching from some distant planet and just observing mankind to see if they're going to kill each other or whether they're going to make it happen. That's not the way. He is involved in our lives. Okay? He is involved in our lives. There's an old hymn. You may know it. This is my Father's world. And the last stanza goes like this. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus who died shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one. God is on the throne, okay? He's still the ruler. And we can praise Him because He's in charge. Nothing's going to happen except He allows it to. And if He allows it to happen, He allows it for our good. God loves you. Now, you need to understand this. God loves everybody, okay? Jesus died for everybody. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So God loves everybody. But I think it's okay to say this. I think He loves His children more. I want to tell you this. This may be a surprise to you, but don't get mad at me. I love all of you. You're a wonderful part of my family. But my children, yeah, they're blood. I love them more than you. And I'm sorry to say that, but that's truth. Okay? And I don't hope it didn't hurt your feelings. But I love my children more. I would do things for them I probably wouldn't do for you. Okay? Because they're my kids. I'm thinking that's probably the way God is. Although He loves everybody, He loves His kids more. And if you're one of His kids, He adores you. He adores you. There's a couple of passages of Scripture regarding to this love thing that I want to share with you. And I'm sure you've heard them before, but maybe with new ears you will listen to this. In Ephesians chapter 3 says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Paul said, I wish you could know how much God really, really, really loves you. If you knew how much God really, 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 really loves you, and if you could embrace that, you would be filled with all the fullness of God. A lot of us question God's love for us. And Paul said, you don't need to question it. You need to embrace it. You need to wear it. You need to own it. You need to live it. God loves you. We all mess up at times, but that does not cause God to love us any less. Okay? Just like when your children mess up, it doesn't cause you to love your children any less. Okay? God still loves you. You still love your children. Romans 8, 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? It's written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and say, God loves you. Tell them, God loves you a lot. The fourth thing, God is working it out. God is working it, whatever it is you're going through, God is working it out. And you can praise Him for that. In Romans 8, 28, it says, for we know that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to His purpose. And one translation adds, for them. He's working out the purpose He has for you. Okay? For you. And so we can rejoice that God is using that situation, whatever it is, that He's working it out for you. What if we began to rejoice in the Lord when things get tough? What if we rejoiced in the Lord when we got a cut in pay? What if we rejoiced in the Lord when the insurance goes up $400 a month? Next year? Hallelujah! What if? What if? What if property taxes went up? Do you know that God got it? Do you know that God loves you? Do you know that He cares? Do you know that? Do you know that He's not going to let anything come upon you that He can't handle? Did you know that He's not fretting over your finances? Did you know that? And so what if, when things go south, I don't like to use that because I'm from the south, but when things go east or whatever, when things don't go the way you think they ought to go, what if we began rejoicing instead of fretting and complaining and worrying? Again, you can vent to the Lord. I encourage you to vent to the Lord, but then turn it into praise. Turn it into praise. Turn it. Jump for joy. Jump for joy. A lot of times we want God to deliver us from the circumstances. When there are other things maybe in our character that He wants to deliver us from, and that whatever you're going through may be the only means by which He does that. So your action steps this morning, although they're not there, I want you to write your own action step. I'm going to whatever it is. Okay? Then, if you begin rejoicing when things go bad, people are going to wonder what's wrong with you. Okay? But we have a lot to praise the Lord for. There's so much that we have to praise the Lord for. Even if we lost everything, like people in Houston, people in Puerto Rico, we are blessed. We are tremendously blessed. And I encourage you this morning, and you encourage me, let's encourage one another. So if you see me down, you can ask me, what should you be rejoicing the Lord about? Okay? God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. He cares about what you're going through. And He can stop it at any minute. But if He chooses not to, that means He's doing something greater than you may see on the surface. 6 months from now, you can look back and say, oh, I see what He's doing. You know, when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt, God did some wonderful things for them, but they didn't appreciate it. And they began complaining rather than rejoicing. Complaining is a sign that we're not believing God. Rejoicing is a sign that we are believing God. And Jesus said, or maybe it was Paul who said, the just shall live by faith. We don't always get to see what God is up to. But we're believing because we know His care for us, we know His love for us, we know His power, we know He's on the throne, we know all of these things. So we're rejoicing because God is up to something. And it's going to be good. Okay? I want to encourage you, church, family, brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. Always. And I'm going to say it again. Rejoice. Father, I come before You today. Lord, I thank You for showing us this truth. I thank You that we can rejoice in You regardless if the world crumbles around us. We can rejoice in You. You are holy, You are marvelous, You are awesome. And Lord, there may be some here this morning who know about You, but they've never come into Your family. And Lord, I pray that today that there will not be anyone leave here today without knowing You as their personal Lord and Savior, receiving Christ into their heart. Lord, You said when that happens, they're rejoicing in heaven. And so, Lord, there's a jumping up and down. And Lord, I pray that You would instill in us, in our heads, we've got to change our mind about these things. So help us to do that. Thank You and praise You in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's stand together.